Dan, something really interesting is going to happen. And when you first look at this verse, you wouldn't be able to understand. What is he talking about? So we're going to study together. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Why do I need to test and approve God's will? I did not ask for it. So I thought transformation is going to lead to something, lead me into receiving a big reward. Huh? How come you lead to this? What's the meaning of this? Remember yesterday, we talked about American culture is about doing things and getting things, right? So what am I going to be, what can I get out of this? After all this hard work, after something myself be transferred, and this is what am I getting? I am confused. I'm confused. Let's look. Okay. Now, every word in this verse are very interesting. Even an ordinary word, good. You actually don't understand what is good. Here says, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Good. According to the context of the Bible, anything that says good associated with God is referring to his salvation plan, his gospel. His good, in Chinese, that it translated into mei, shan. 不是只有美哦,还有善. Good. But in English, we only have one simple vocabulary, good. So how is this good different than the other good? You know, English sometimes, in certain ways, is a very simple language. But if you look at the number of times it appears in the Bible, this word appears 90 times. It is different than the word of transform and conform, which transform only appear 4 times and conform only appear 2 times. Good appear actually 90 times. So it is not about the number of times that it appears in the Bible. It's about where does it appear the most, the concentration number of the appearance. It actually, out of the 90 times, it appears 40 times in 3 books. Matthew, Luke, and Romans. What are the commonality of these 3 books? Why these 3 books? These 3 books are all gospel books. Gospel. Later, Roman was written to Church of Rome because Paul did not have a chance to go there yet. So Paul had in mind to write a complete gospel to introduce Jesus' salvation plan. So Romans is a very complete gospel book in addition to the gospel book, the 4 gospel book. Have you heard of someone called Luke, the good news? This news is going to benefit you. It's good. Because yes, God's complete salvation plan, so this is good. Test and approve. In English, we'll translate it into 3 words, because we just don't have one word to translate that Greek word. In Greek, it's only one word, just one word. Again, as a non-Greek speaker, it's number G1381. Test and prove means one thing, to recognize as genuine after examination. Do you know anything that need to be recognized, need to be checked and studied first so that you know if it's genuine? Have you know anything like that? For example, the thing that girls love the most, diamond. When you go to a department store, oh, these diamonds, the rings all look very beautiful. But how come some price $9.99, while other price $15,000? I should have, I don't have a diamond, so I can't. You know, if you place the 2 diamonds together in your eyes, you probably like the $9.99 better. It looks prettier. But this ordinary diamond, how come it's $15,000? 1 year, I had a chance to visit a Smithsonian Museum in D.C. And one of the museums, I asked the docent, what is the treasure in your collection? Because I only had 30 minutes. The tour guy only gave me 30 minutes to view all the collection in the museum. How could it be? I just want to view your treasure. What is your treasure? So, it is called the Hope Diamond. He said, this Hope Diamond will be placed in the room. It's going, it's this giant diamond. It actually emits this soft blue light. And it's giant, it's so big. It's about this big. One piece. Yes, I want to see this diamond. Yes. And she said, oh, go straight to the second floor. And the first room, so I ran. I went into a room. That room was all empty. Just one thing in the middle. Imagine it's about the size of this chapel, right? Just one thing in the middle. Then I could run for Hope Diamond. Oh, that looks very ordinary, you know? That is Hope Diamond. I look and look and look. I cannot see any beauty of it. Confused, you know. Later on, my friend who studied jewelry, she said, ah, you need actually some, you know, tool to look at the view the diamond. Then you will see the cut and the, you know, the light has reflected from each facet of a cut. Then you will see the purity is no blemish. And that's when you can appreciate, wow, this is a beautiful diamond. Oh, I see, I see. Because I don't have a tool. So I look at, come on, that. It's okay, you know. And it's famous for the curse that is associated with that diamond, the curse for the owner who owns that beautiful diamond. Something tragic happened to them. So in the end, the last owner was so afraid, he wanted to donate this cursed diamond to a museum so that he could get rid of, you know, all the misfortune that happened in his life. He was so afraid that he did not even... deliver the diamond to the museum. He sent this diamond in by package. And according to the story, even the mailman who delivered this package, something very unfortunate happened to him. You know, go, I see. And this is just to tell you, something that is extraordinary, beautiful, and valuable is not always visible. It is just like God in this context. It's referring to God's will. God's good, pleasing, perfect will is so beautiful. But just because you cannot see it, it doesn't mean that it's not there. According to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that beauty is invisible after through the eyes of a transformed life. Does that make sense? If life is not transformed, your content in your brand is very different. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time looking at the pattern of this world, right? A lot of you laugh at this, oh, so funny, because you begin to see yourself, and you see the pattern inside of you. No wonder if you have all these patterns inside of you, you will not be able to see God's good, pleasing, perfect will. Then you become confused. Then when something misfortune happened to you, you go, ah, God's here to punish me. God is against me. I thought God would bless me. Look at me. I put in so much time serving the church, and this happened to me. Look at other people who play in the world, and their life prosper. Because you cannot see God's good, pleasing will. God is not here to give you things. But you don't know that. You think God is in your life to give you things. So when you don't get the things you wanted, you misunderstand God's purpose and God's will. Well, now today you come to the understanding of this truth. You don't see that because your life is not transformed. Then we're going to go further. Perfect. What do you mean perfect? If you look at these two verses, we can best understand. In James chapter 1, verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. Perfect means complete. When your inner person is being completed according to God's master plan, it is perfect. Whatever you think is perfect may not be perfect according to God's master plan. You think if you score 100% on your test is perfect. You think if you arrange your life in certain order, your life is in order, we like to see our life in order, right? Not chaotic, and that is perfect. No, it is not. James chapter 1 verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadows or turning. This is my guide verse. This is my guide verse. How does verse guide me? Every time when I confuse, when I struggle in difficulty, in a very difficult time, I need to understand God's gift is perfect. I need to hold on to that belief. Although I couldn't see it, James chapter 1, verse 17 encourages me. Carol, God's will and gift is perfect. Although I can see it, I need to believe that. Now, so while you've been transformed and renewed, when God's work begins to work inside of your head, you need to use God's word to view real people and real event. God's word does not only stay in the Bible. When you apply God's word to real people and real event, then you will begin to see that, the genuine, beautiful will of God. And then, here we go back to verse 1. Now, if you read this one verse again, you will understand what God is asking of you, a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, we want to do something. We need to study another piece of truth, and that is going to impact how you read this verse. That is, God's requirement of you being holy and pleasing. When you see this requirement, don't you feel very burdensome? Will you stress out? If mom asks you to be perfect, and you go, oh, that's not me. You need to have another child. You know, it's not going to come from me. You know, you want to have a perfect, good, perfect child. You know, I wanted to tell you what is the definition of holy and pleasing in the context of God's master plan. In the Old Testament time, when God instructed Moses, and Moses in turn instructed the chosen people to offer burnt sacrifice, they pay a lot of attention to the sacrifice itself, right? The goat. There are a lot of regulation about this goat here. You can see this goat at the right corner. Ah, this little cute goat here. There are a lot of requirements on the goat. Ah, this goat needs to be blemished. It needs to be certain age, right? So it's about goat. Then, because of a lot of requirement is placed on this goat, so when you go to the herd to select the goat that will meet that requirement, you check, because it's about the goat. This goat, no, won't fit. That, no, too old. This, too young. No, this too skinny. Oh, this have a blind eye. No, that one has a patches on the back. No. Then you select the right goat. But, in Isaiah, when Isaiah described God's anger about the sacrifice, the anger was directed toward the people. Now it's switching to the people. The anger was so intense to the point, says, stop. Don't bring this meaningful offering. Don't. God rather you not bring it, don't. It is so so terrible to a point that God cannot bear. Your offering become a burden, so heavy on him, he cannot bear. He cannot even bear to see your assemblies, you are coming together, you set aside time to come together. He cannot, because what? Because of your deeds. Now it's directed to the people now. He said, it's about your life, your deeds, and you don't need to stop that. So that requirement transferred from the sacrifice to the people. Now we're going to look further. In the New Testament time, this sin in a different phrase, but you can understand. Here said in Matthew, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there, before you place a gift on the altar, you remember that your brother or sister has something against you. He said, at that moment, when you remember that, don't go forward. Leave your gift there in front. Can you visualize? In front, you already brought the gift. You travel on foot. You travel a long distance. You came here already. He said, no, don't. Place your gift in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. This is another guide verse. How does this verse guide me? If you do evil, you do bad, and God chastises you. You go, yeah. I know, I'm wrong, I'm bad. But if you did something beautiful, you put in extra effort, you brought a very beautiful gift. Gift is beautiful, otherwise it would not be called gift. You wrap it, you spend time to perfect that gift, you brought it to the presence of God, and God cannot accept it. God rejected it. It's a lot of hurt. It hurts me tremendously. And I always remember that. It is because my relationship with others is not according to God's teaching. I need to fix that first. And I did spend a lot of time, a long period of time, repair broken relationship with people. That is important. Repair broken relationship. Today, our biggest problem is we don't know how to view people. We don't value people. So we ended up with a lot of broken relationship. Yes, you have a relationship. Look at your relationship. The first round you need to look at your relationship is your relationship within your family, with your parents. Yes, you have a relationship. Your mom has not abandoned you. That means you still have a relationship. But is it good? Or is it broken? Or can you see a lot of regrets in that relationship? That relationship needs to be repaired. Our biggest problem is we don't value people. Philippians chapter 2 is another of my guide verse. Value people. Value another people above yourself. Value other. The verse did not teach you to always think other people are smarter than you, they have more ability than you. No. You misunderstand. It is about you struggle with value. It is your problem is value. You don't value life. You don't value life. Philippians chapter 2 teaches us when you see people, you need to recognize this life has value, and you need to value that. And you need to value others' life above yourself. And that is important. That sense is important. So when we come to the presence of God, we need to be willing to place ourselves as a living sacrifice. It has a lot to do with our willingness. So you could take a few moments to reflect about your willingness, why you are here, because mom just dropped you off, said, here you go, summer camp, adios, have fun. No, but I have sports program, I have other things, I have a life. Mom, don't you know that I have a life? And this is going to take away, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I know many of you are going to MVP and other programs. Are you willing? Did you come here with excitement to know God's word? And that matters, When you come to church, when you do, when you read Bible, are you willing? Or because you need to memorize it, it matters. It really matters. We're going to look on the other side of the coin. Are you willing? And the other side is, what challenges your willingness? What constantly challenges your willingness? Remember yesterday we studied about the confirmation. Which part of you are being conformed? The unstable part, remember that? Everyone has that part inside of us. We all have unstable part. It is the unstable part, always wanted to adopt a new form, change shape, right? Now we're going to look at the other side of the coin. What challenges your willingness? What challenges? And you could look at these sides. What challenges my willingness? Remember yesterday we talked about when it comes to money, there are two kind of people. It's not that one type is better than the other. Or it is not. It is about knowing your type. Does spending money make you happy? Oh, type one. Does saving money make you happy? Or type two. You need to know your type. What challenges your willingness? Identify your challenges, and that helps you. Now, we're going to come to, we only have five, less than 10 minutes, but you have to understand this piece of truth. Because if you don't understand this piece of truth, the requirement of being holiness and blemish, you will feel like it's a burden. It's a burden because it's a commandment. But it is actually not. Because of your lacking of knowledge of this, then you think it's a burden. But let's see how New Testament time, how does God teach us? In Ephesians, at the opening in chapter 1, Ephesians said, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us. We are receiving a gift, blessing. It's not a requirement. We are receiving it. These are blessings. In the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. A lot of us, when you think about holy and blameless, you start, pressure. No. You do not understand God's perspective. It's a blessing. And we're going to study how can that become a blessing instead of a requirement. How? God have already given this as a spiritual blessing to you in Christ. Remember, the key of transformation is to feel God's word in your thoughts. And that verse in God's word will transform you, will propel you, will turn you into the person who is holy and blameless into the sight of God. You just need to allow yourself to be transformed. Therefore, it's a blessing. If you use your strength to police yourself, to force yourself to be holy and blameless, you can never reach there. Instead, you need to keep fill your head with the Word of God. And then let the Word of God take root in your heart. And then let that Word do His work and transform you. You remember the freedom we talked about. We were given freedom to choose God. We were owned by this world. So once you choose God in Christ, you are giving this blessing, you have been blessed. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works. We are His work. He who has begun a good work in you will complete you, will perfect you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This is another of my guide verse. He will. I don't know how to complete myself. And God's goal is to make you holy and blameless in His sight. He will complete you. If He want to complete you, He has provided the tools. You are being provided for. You have received the tool. His divine power has given us everything. Not most of the tool. Not one tool or two pieces of a tool. Everything. All the tools you need for a godly life. Through our knowledge of Him, again, that goes back to transformation. You don't have that knowledge stored in your head. You don't have that tools. And that is everything everything you needed. And because of that, you can participate in the divine nature. I have heard people participate in different activities, but I have not heard people participate in the divine nature. God wants you. It is perfect will and in His master plan. He wants you to participate when you are still alive with your life, to participate in His divine nature. Do you understand the requirement of being holy and being blameless now? It is to let God complete you. And your part is to store the word in you. So today, we're going to look at this verse real quick, and then we're going to sing the hymn and look at the size and share our five verses. So today, after the five-day class in the music camp, when you read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, you know exactly the meaning of this. How does this impact your life, right? How does this impact your life? I'm going to show you the slides from Prezi while Jackie play. We're going to learn a new hymn, a new phrase. It's called Trust His Heart. How many of you know this phrase? Raise your hand. Dennis, do you know this phrase? No? Anyone? Trust His Heart. Susan, do you know Trust His Heart? Do you? No? Follow Susan this time. Oh, I saw one hand. Lulu, follow Lulu. we're going to look at the Prezi slides, and as Jackie will play the lyrics of Trust His Heart. Here comes the slides. A living sacrifice. God's good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be trusted.
this hymn reminds each one of us that we do struggle. We struggle a lot of time. We cannot even see beyond our nose. And in the midst of struggle, there is going to be a part that requires your faith to trust His plan, His good, pleasing, and good, perfect plan. I wanted to, because this is our last day, and I wanted to encourage you with two passages that has been leading my life, and I hope that will be your encouragement too. I just have never seen any generation like your generation who struggle with core value. I have never seen generation struggle with core value. People in our generation, we struggle with minor things, but we are very clear about what is right and what is wrong. But today, in your generation, that line has been blurred, and it has become so blurry. It's about tolerance. It's about including. It's about, you know, inclusive, including. Oh, this is a personal preference. If you prefer this way or I prefer this way, it's about your preference versus my preference. It's not about whether you're right versus wrong, because the line has become so blurry. And because of that, many of you struggle with core value. You don't know what is right. You don't know what is wrong. You need the Word of God in you. In Gospel John, this is how John introduced Jesus. But do you know John? John was the disciple when he and James and Jesus went to pass by Samaritan village. The people refused to receive them. And John said, told Jesus, send a fire to burn this village. Their life have no value. These people are not worthy to even live. Just burn them. Destroy them, terminate them, you know. That's disciple John. But do you know something? If you continue to follow the book of John, you're going to see a real person. Because it is in Gospel John, he said, on the day when Mary reported the empty tomb, John started running, Peter started running. They all want to see what happened in that empty tomb. And it is recorded in Gospel John that I ran, Peter. I run faster. Peter was behind me. And you can see the kind of desire, you know, displayed in Gospel John. And it is the same person. Later on, when you wrote the letter, John 1, 2, and 3, the letters, it is John who wrote. He said, God is love. God is love, and that is written by John. And do you know how he introduced Jesus? You will wonder when you read Gospel John, while Luke recorded 20-some parables, Matthew recorded 20-some parables, why John only selected seven? Only seven. But he selected these seven with a very specific purpose. He said, I want you to know Jesus, but look at how he introduces. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God. He used the Word. In the original Greek, the Word means the governing principle of the universe. The governing principles of the universe. Do you know what is that? The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Governing principle of the universe. He said, Jesus will be the governing principle in your life. For a generation who struggle with core value, you don't know what is governing principle. And that will come from the Word of God. You struggle. You think, one example, one of the 10 patterns of the world. Many of you think our parents need to qualify themselves as parents. They need to jump over many hurdles. They need to have a noble character to be qualified to become my parents. You're wrong. This is a pattern of this world. Your parents are parents because this is a governing principle of your life. They are your parents. They don't need to qualify themselves. And you need to value life. was shaped and changed my life in a different way. And I'm going to share with one. That single passage changed my life. Remember, Apostle, remember Paul? Before, his name was called Paul. He was called Saul. On the way to Damascus, he was shown by this great light, and then he fell on the ground, right? And he couldn't see. But then he heard a voice. The voice said, Saul, first time. Saul, second time. Why do you persecute me? And Saul answered, Who are you, Lord? And the voice answered, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Wouldn't you think God should answer, I'm the Almighty God. I'm the Lord. You don't know me. That's why you persecuted me. No, no, no. God came to his level. What was his level? He persecuted this man whom he thinks has no value. That's why he persecuted him, and this man is called Jesus. God came to his level, to his very minimum understanding, and that beginning journey. I am Jesus. He did not say, I'm Almighty God, Jesus. But later on, through many years, many struggle, learning, through many hard learning, putting in a lot of effort, it is Paul who said in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Can you see what a journey that will be? That is amazing understanding. That is amazing understanding. Today, this is our last class. When you sit in this classroom, you have in your heart a big question mark. Who is this? Who is Jesus Christ? How does the knowledge of Jesus Christ gonna impact my life and change my life? I hope you will one day come to the understanding from within. When he teaches you from within, you will come to the understanding that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And this is my guide verse. When you go back, I hope you will open the Bible. When you open the Bible, you will be very excited to read this. You want to know, in Hebrew, the author said, in the past, God has sent us, delivered his messages through many prophets, many, many prophets, and they failed. And today, in the end time, we live in the end time, right? He talks through his son. And you want to know what he said through the son? What is that message? Want to know about that unique message? You want to read about Galatians? Paul is a very even-tempered person. And why he is so angry? When Paul addressed the recipient of the letter, he said, oh, my joy, my crown. You know? But when he sent the letter to Galatians, he said, you foolish people. Why is he so angry? You want to know about it? You need to be excited when you turn to the Bible, the letters. You need to know. You need to have a desire, want to know what God said about this, and what does that teach us me, and how does that teach and impact my life, and you need to have all that. Just like the other day, we used a car in your garage as an example. When you're going to be traveled on a road that you have never traveled before, when you come across bumpy road, you go, Father, which car should I use, should I drive? And the Father is going to tell you, look at your garage, you have no car. You don't have any verses in your head. You don't know that. It's very important. So now we're going to end with a praise that you know how to sing. How about this? I heard someone playing this, Knowing You, earlier. And so I know that you, maybe in the future, in the music camp, the music teacher can teach you how to sing Trust His Heart. I cannot teach people new songs, you know. I have limitation. So let's sing Knowing You and as our concluding praise. stressed. I was wondering why you look different, you know. Then I remember tonight you're going to have a presentation, and I wanted to use the word spoken by John in 1 John to encourage you that. John said, by sharing with God's grace what I see, what I heard, that complete our joy. Think about it. Why sharing God's grace, writing this love letter completes his joy? Because you don't understand. By singing praise, by, you know, offer your praise, adoration, you know, from your heart, something inside of you are being built up and being changed. And that process will bring you joy. And to the people who hear that, will also bring them joy. Therefore, by sharing God's praise and your adoration of God, complete our joy, your joy and my joy. You may not sing in tune, or don't stress about this. Just by showing what you have in your heart, that completes the joy, perfect joy. Now you know the word perfect. Perfect joy in you and in the heart of those who listen. Okay? So now everyone, let's say a silent prayer together.